there, Internet. My name is Jack Packard. Salt, sweat, sugar on the asphalt. My heart is litter on the topsoil here for The Escapist.
Hello, I'm Nick Calandra, food poisoning editor-in-chief of The Escapist.
That is a terrible job title. I would get a different job immediately.
I would too. I don't want to go through it again.
This week on The Escapist Show, I'm going to talk about a couple of games I've been playing last week, and Nick is going to reminisce about his time hovering over the porcelain throne. Then over in the topics, we're going to talk about the possibility of reviving games through services like Game Pass. Hooray, huzzah! Hello and welcome. This is The Escapist Show.
You know, since Stadia kind of went down the pooper, we've become the Game Pass shills now.
It's like I don't want to be, you know, like I still want to shill for Stadia, but it's going down the drains. I actually just today's the 17th where we're recording this. I just today signed up for Game Pass. It has enough games on it where I will definitely play $10 worth a month. They got me. They got me, Nick. Ha. They got me.
You even own an Xbox? It's just PC Games Pass, right?
Just PC Games Pass, right. Okay. I don't own an Xbox. But now that I'm in the ecosystem, I'll say to myself, oh, wait, I should get an Xbox because I have all these games. That's how they get you. That's how Apple. Oh, look, I got my Apple Watch, yep. And Apple phone. Oh, I got. Oh, yeah.
You need the Xbox.
Yeah.
You need the wireless controllers for your phone so you can play on the xCloud now.
Oh, God, no.
You need it on Dang your tablet? It.
Yep. Need it on my tablet. Well, it only works for Android tablets, and I have an iPad because I'm also in the Apple
ecosystem.
Now I need an Android tablet.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered I have one in my closet. I'm going to go get that eventually.
One day it'll work on my Kindle. It'll work on my e-reader, too. It'll be black and white and get 2 frames a second, and it'll be awesome. So, Nick, I want to talk about two games I've been playing last week. One is actually a little prescient. Prescient? That might be a word.
Prescient.
Prescient. One is ceremonial, as it's a game that I started to play at the beginning of the pandemic time, which is The Legend of Bumbo.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. After my recent and incredibly professional interview with Mr. Edmund McMillan,
Elmar's got a clip in the shit clips.
It was a very professional interview. I'm a games journalist. He let me know that they actually they were planning a big update for Bumbo that included a bunch of bonus content, more stuff, more bosses, and more importantly, a ton of bug fixes because that game was buggy as hell. So I got another 5 hours into Bumbo just because it's such a delightful game. This is a short one, I swear. Bumbo, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a tile matching game. But your tiles are poop and pee and boogers and bones and teeth. And you match those tiles, that gives you a little mana. The mana powers your superpowers, because it's also kind of a deck building game. And you use your superpowers and the tiles to fight monsters. It's all set within the Binding of Isaac universe, and it's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal tile matching game. And now that it runs smoothly and more consistently, it's beautiful. I'm having a great time replaying it. Very similar with my Loop Hero criticism, though. I would love to see this on some sort of handheld device. because it is. I mean, this is a perfect handheld game. I would love to play it for short snippets. But I love it. I love it still. I loved it back then, and I love it now. What are you going to do? That's it. That's my short little Bumbo segment.
I have to grab something real quick because I have a bit.
Hold on. This is important, everyone. Nick has a bit. I'm so proud of him. This is like watching your children walk for the first time. And I want to encourage him with bits.
Can't let you see it. It has to be a surprise.
So, Nick, what game have you been playing last week?
I have a confession to make. I'm not proud of it. You're going to give me a lot of shit for it, more than I let go this past week.
All right. You bought the physical copy of the Mario 3D collection after you gave me so much shit for me buying it. Interesting.
Nintendo got the last laugh, and I hate them.
Nintendo knows what their products are worth.
Whatever. You know what, though? I started it. I started Sunshine. Mm-hmm. And goddamn, those controls are fucking awful.
It takes a little bit to get used to.
They're so bad.
It takes a little bit to get used to.
This fucking squirt gun is so annoying to use. I hate it.
Wait till you get there, man. Once you start jumping around and using the squirt gun to add to your jumps, oh man, it's great. No. Super fun time.
Yeah, but
squirt gun fun.
Coincidentally, I bought this on I got it on Thursday. I played it Thursday night, and then Friday, I ate something, and then Saturday night I got food poisoning. So I am just going to label it as a coincidence of karma. For supporting Nintendo's bad antics.
There you go.
That left me on the toilet for 3 days straight. So thanks, Nintendo.
That's what you get. That's what you get. You bought it, Nick.
It's my penance. There, the chat was trying to say it was for me being a toxic gamer during our game night stream, but
I think
it was this. It's cursed.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better now.
Yeah.
All right. So now a game I'd like to chat about a little bit more, as I have a little bit more to say about it. I played a game called Atomicrops, which on the surface, on the selling points of the game, is exactly the kind of game that Jack would like. It is part farming simulator and part bullet hell roguelite. Roguelike.
So I don't know the difference between the two. We just call it Rogue. And be done with it.
No, because there is a game called Rogue. So a roguelike, you don't upgrade your character in between runs. In a roguelite, you do have the ability to upgrade your character in between runs. This is a roguelike. Every time you start fresh with nothing. It's a twin stick shooter. It's hard as hell, but it also has a farming mechanic. You go out and you fight monsters, you get seeds, and then you have to go back, plant the seeds, water them. You have to hoe the ground, plant the seeds, water them, all while fighting off more monsters trying to attack your crops. It has an incredible art style, and it has a killer soundtrack.
Is that one still in early access?
No, it is not in early access.
No, okay.
It is.
I remember it was on the Epic Games Store, but.
Ah, okay. It's out fully. I got it for my Switch, thinking it would be a lovely game to play on the go. It has a couple real big problems, and I tried very hard to work past them. So, positives, right? The twin stick shooting is really fun. Farming is very hectic. The animation, the soundtrack are killer. All good. All good, love the world, love the premise. The bad part of it is you have 2 minutes to go out into the world, kill monsters, and gather seeds. That's it.
2 minutes?
2 minutes. Then you have an additional 2 minutes to hoe your land, plant your seeds, water your plants, all while simultaneously defending those plants from incoming monsters.
No.
No. It's not enough time, Nick.
Yeah,
it's not enough time.
That just seems like stress simulator.
It is. No, it's incredibly stressful, and really it's not any fun. It's you don't get like the super enjoyment out of the hectic bullet hell twin stick shooter side of it, and you don't get the enjoyment out of the serenity of the farming simulator. And so what we have here, Nick, is the spork problem.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the spork problem?
Today is the first time.
All right. This was coined by the wisest of all of us, Mr. Rich Evans. In an episode of Previously Recorded, we did about the Steam controller. Have you ever used the Steam controller?
No.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Well, so he defined the spork problem as such. A spork is a utensil that has the utility of both a spoon and a fork, and therefore has the functionality of neither. It's not a good enough spoon to be a spoon, and it's not a good enough fork to be a fork. It's a mixture of both, and it ends up to be lesser than the sum of its parts. And that's what we have here with Atomicrops, is it's, we have two gameplay genres that don't fit well together, is you never really get to build up your farm because it's constantly being attacked, and you never really get into the combat because it only lasts 2 minutes and then you got to get back to your farm, you know?
Yeah, it seems like they should have just had the farming and then a go adventure and make it a bullet hell adventure. And pick up loot along the way to bring back.
Absolutely. If they would have gotten rid of the timer altogether, yeah, you could have chosen when you came back and then you just farmed. And
yeah.
For some reason, they wanted that timer in there. And here's the really frustrating part, and this is very similar to what I said about something like Sword of the Necromancer, which is it's very close. Like, it's so close to being a wonderful experience, but it just doesn't do it. It has a lot of good elements to it, but it's not locking on for me.
And there's no way to extend the timer?
Not that I am aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to, during my playthrough, unlock a second character.
Yeah.
And that second character gives you just different starting abilities. So it just doesn't do it. It's so close, though, Nick. It's so close.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it sounds like a fun concept. Of like, it sounds like if they remove the timer on building your farm and then just maybe set the timer on the amount of time you have to go collect loot and adventure and see how far you get.
Or even instead of a timer, they could repopulate the area with harder monsters the longer you stay in the outworld. And so then it's like a self-imposed timer, right? But I'm not a game developer. I'm just commenting on what I played. Unfortunately, good, bad, otherwise.
Another game you won't pick up again.
Probably not, unless there's a big update. It just didn't quite fit for me.
You should be buying these games on Steam and then trying them and then refunding them before you buy them on Switch.
I still want to support the developers. Right, I'm talking about the game. I'm using it for the show, and so it's tax deductible. So
there's your loophole.
This is the other part of it. Yeah. There's my loophole, right. Yeah. My expenses at the end of the year. Oh, when I talk to my accountant, it's weird. It gets really weird.
Yeah,
what's this, Atomicrops? On to the topics, Nick. This week, we're going to talk more about Game Pass because we can no longer shill for Stadia. So now we're going to shill for Game Pass. The idea is we keep hearing about Microsoft, one, gobbling up studios and gobbling up IPs, but really Microsoft is focusing on Game Pass as kind of the entry to the Xbox ecosystem. And you came up with an interesting thought, which is what about failed multiplayer games? Your Battleborns, what else is on your list?
Lawbreakers, Evolve, Crucible.
So the idea of the talking point here is if Microsoft were to bring games like that, these failed multiplayer games, to a service like Game Pass, would that boost the player base and keep these games alive? The first counterpoint to that is a lot of these games were at one point free to play and it didn't do anything.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated answer. Like, obviously my tweet on it, you know, was like, well, look at Bleeding Edge, which was that game from Ninja Theory that came out not too long ago and like pretty much failed out of the gate. Another one I think is like Destruction All-Stars on PlayStation Plus that's not doing super well, I'm imagining.
Sure.
So I mean, you know, it's a case-by-case basis, and it's not like I'm saying, oh, bring Evolve back and it's gonna be fine and people are gonna play it again, right? it's like, no, the larger point is like if they were gonna do something like that, because like Evolve, like the concept of Evolve, do you remember Evolve?
Yes, that was the Left 4 Dead-like, but on an alien planet.
Not really Left 4 Dead. It's an asymmetrical horror multiplayer, multiplayer game where one person was the monster and there were four hunters.
Oh, okay, okay.
And people loved the concept of it, right, when it was announced, and it kind of came out to middling reviews because a lot of the time was spent running and all that, and Evolve was really ahead of its time for those asymmetrical multiplayer games like that. And it was also before, like, companies really spent a lot of time investing into a single project, and if it needed reworks, rebuilding it and making it work because they invested so much time and money into it already. Like Rainbow Six Siege and all that went through a lot of reworks before it's the game it is today. The Division went through reworks, Destiny went through reworks, like all these big games as a service titles went through reworks, and Evolve was kind of at the cusp of that time where, well, the player base gone, nobody cares about it, we're done with it. I think if, like, now, and I don't think this is going to happen, like, this is completely hypothetical, we're just talking, like, can the basic concept is, can a failed game come back to Game Pass and be successful? And I think to do something like Evolve might be a good candidate for that, or Lawbreakers, where, like, yeah, you put a small splinter team to say, like, hey, we're going to revive this at a very small scale. Here's like one map, here's the general gameplay concept, let us know what you think. Player base builds up, then they build out a support pipeline of, like, hey, here's how we can build it with your player feedback, because they never had the player base or the support needed to, like, make those changes and make it the game it needed to be. So I think Game Pass is, like, I think it'd be kind of cool to see some of these games that, like, had really cool ideas, like Lawbreakers and Evolve and Battleborn, that just never made it, and give it another shot. And the counter argument of, like, well, they went free to play and failed, it was like, well, because they were sent to free to play to die, basically, like,
right, know, once it goes free to play, then players know that they're going to stop supporting it, so they stop playing, which means it spirals. But if it's on a service like,
well, I was going to say, that was the old way, that was the old model. Now games go to free to play after they're successful.
That's true. Well, that's an even older model.
Yeah.
But the point is, if it's on Game Pass, there is an assumed support built in.
Right.
And also, if it's on Game Pass, it's a service that we are all paying for already. And so the willingness to download and try a game is inherent in the system. Oh, I'm already paying for this, I might as well give this a try. Even if I get a couple hours into it, it'll be worth it. Mm-hmm. Which it's basically like, it's like a free demo or like a free to play with no strings attached.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the answer is maybe. I know, like, Rocket League, I think, is a great example of a game that, after it was hugely successful, went free to play, saw a huge boost in the player base, went to the Nintendo Switch, saw another boost in the player base. Like,
I think it actually exploded for the first time when it went to PlayStation Plus.
Yes, that is true. Well,
it was big, but yes, it exploded on PlayStation Plus.
Absolutely. It exploded when it went to PlayStation Plus, which, by the way,
same thing that happened to Fall Guys too.
Ooh, that's true. Which, like, any multiplayer game, any online multiplayer game needs a base. It needs a player base in order for it to be interesting. And so, like, constantly pumping new blood into these games, the blood is the player base in my metaphor, is a good thing inherently. Will it work for something like Battleborn, which was, you know, iffy to begin with? I don't know.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
I think that's kind of like the nice thing about Game Pass, though, is that, like, you don't need to be a massive hit. You could have a small cultivated community playing these games again, and, you know, if the company is willing to, you know, revive the servers and put the game back online and, yeah, you know, drip feed content into it over a small period of time, like, who knows, it might become, just because of word of mouth and how Game Pass works and how these games as a service titles work now, it might be just become the next big hit, surprisingly, right? Like, that's the way I think about it, is like, Evolve had a great concept where, like, four people are hunting down a playable monster. It needed some reworking and redesign, but, man, like, nowadays, if you put that out there and it just hit, you could have the next, you know, Dead by Daylight.
That's true. Well, and the that's the benefit of Game Pass, yep. is they get to experiment as long as a certain percentage of their customers are happy with it. And yep. that means a certain percent of their customers are going to keep paying every month, much like the Netflix model. Just give the niche audiences exactly what they want, and you can experiment. That's how you can experiment and get major successes like Netflix has seen. The real question, though, is would Microsoft be better gobbling up one of these old IPs or just experimenting with their own multiplayer online games? And I think that's where Microsoft would go with this, is having a team have something that they own on their service, because then it's farm to table. Then they own all the pieces.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, the games we're talking about here are just hypothetical, because they're good examples. And, you know, if Microsoft were going to do it, I'm sure they would own it and, you know, add some microtransactions to it to fund it or whatever. But, you know, it'd be what it is. But I think a lot of people point to Bleeding Edge as like why this wouldn't work or whatever. And it's like, well, Bleeding Edge was like a much harder sell than a first person shooter, which most of these games tend to be. Bleeding Edge was, you know, an action combat multiplayer game with a quirky art style and not exactly, it was pretty niche. Like I'm not surprised that game didn't catch on. Yahtzee and I both felt that at E3 when we saw it. It's like, but yeah, you know, it's just, that's the exciting part about Game Pass for me, is like just being able to experiment with these things. And like, you know, I'd love to see, yeah, like some game that you tried to release $60 10 years ago that didn't work. Why not? You know, not retrofit it?
I think like the good comparison right now is what's the Honey I Shrunk the Kids game?
Grounded.
That's a multiplayer game, right?
Yeah, it's a co-op survival game, and it has 5 million players, so it's doing well.
But I think then that's a really good data point, which is like, that's a weird experimental game, right? Like,
is it? It's a survival crafting game. I wouldn't say it's exactly weird nowadays.
I guess the you're setting
targeting that Minecraft audience.
usually you don't see them in such a whimsical setting.
Yeah, but that's the selling point.
Well, for us, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'd still consider that quasi-experimental. And so it's doing well, and that's great. I think Xbox is going to take all of these new IPs that it just purchased and start looking at ways that they can service the online multiplayer audience. Because does Game Pass have any game right now for the online multiplayer audience? They just got EA Play, right?
Oh yeah, they have plenty of games with a multiplayer audience.
So that's
Gears in there, Halo's in there, Battlefront's in there. There's Titanfall's in there. There's plenty of multiplayer games in there. Probably too many to count.
Well, so then that's the other side of this, which is maybe reviving old games isn't a good idea because they don't want to oversaturate. And Nick, that's the best thought experiment. In our current age of opulence, in our platinum age of entertainment where we can access anything, is there such a thing as saturation anymore? Probably not.
I don't know. And you know, you're targeting 100 million subscribers for Game Pass. So there's going to be people playing everything on there at some point.
Exactly. When you have 100 million subscribers, and really, it's about keeping, you know, 100,000 here, 100,000 here, 100,000 here happy, saturation doesn't matter.
It's not even that anymore. You know what's one of the most surprising things I learned when I've been covering games over the years is, and what's also that? Like one of the trends in games media right now is to talk about how our player base is dying and all that all the time. Like some of the games we've covered that are multiplayer games and are considered successful, like Insurgency and Hell Let Loose and all that, maybe have 10 to 20,000 players at any one time active online, and that's all you need to have a healthy community.
Exactly.
You're not raking in bucket loads of money, but I mean it's enough a community that like I can go click matchmake and be put in a match right away. And so like that's what I'm saying, like, you know, with games like Evolve and Lawbreakers and all that, like you don't need millions of players to support these games. You need an easy access point to get to them. A low barrier of entry via the $10 subscription fee was already there, so I guess that kind of combines. But in general, and it's just like a curious audience, which the Game Pass audience is extremely curious, and developers have all the data to show that. They're like, hey, once my game goes on the Game Pass, sales and interest goes up here. And it's
well, and I guess that's what I was getting at with, like, saturation doesn't matter anymore, because all you're hoping to do is satisfy enough niche markets to fill in the whole pie chart. And so if you have your Star Wars shooter, if you have your asymmetrical shooter, if you have your Halo, your Gears, your whatever shooter, your Grounded, your everything, your Fall Guys, your Rocket League, right? You have enough of the pie chart to fill in those player bases. Let them be small. Let them be small but proud. Yep. Small but mighty.
Yep. I think that's what we talked about, like, last game, or the last talk we had about Game Pass. I think, like, we're going to see more of these big AAA studios taking little splinter teams to go make experimental projects like that.
Do it. Make weirdo projects. I just gave you my money. I gave you my $1 for the first month. You got my $1. Wow. I want some good stuff for it.
So much investment.
First month is a dollar, Nick, and I want big returns from that dollar. Like,
you're gonna write that on your taxes too. $1.
Hell yeah, I am. It's research.
Yeah.
Also, all of your because I talk about movies, all of my subscription services. It's research.
Talking about games that I wish Microsoft would revive. The Relic Games, and I bet I'm curious if anybody in the comments is going to know about this game from the past of Xbox. It was an Xbox exclusive called The Outfit.
The Outfit.
Yep, it was from Relic Games. It was like a third. It was almost like a third person MOBA back in the day.
Oh. Okay.
Where it was like set in World War II, and you had like a hero unit soldier, and then you set up, like, you called in like tanks and artillery to shoot at your friends. Mm. Such a fun game. I bet you hardly anybody in chat will remember it, but. That was a game that I spent a ton of time in. I would love to see revived.
Bring it back, Xbox. You have the power.
Do it.
Do it. I don't know if we have a button for this. So then here's the button, because we didn't have a button. Thanks for watching, everybody. That's the end of the episode. Once again, I've been Jack Packard, a semi-professional video game enjoyer here for The Escapist.
And I've been Nick Calandra, and I have to go to the bathroom because I have food poisoning, and my camera stopped working because my technology also has food poisoning. Nick is my name. Goodbye, I'm the editor-in-chief.